So we started a new series last week. It was a 3-week series, we're on part two, obviously, this week. And the series is all about life is a garden. So in this series, we need to see ourselves as gardeners. So I don't know whether you're a good gardener in a natural sense. Paul is, but you're not, okay. The same in our household, I am, and Wendy isn't, I say. No, I didn't. I didn't say useless, but yeah, not great. Anyway, so I don't know what you're like as a natural gardener. I'm no expert either, in any sense. But we like as a natural gardener, but we need to see ourselves as spiritual gardeners. See ourselves as spiritual gardeners. Because our life, our Christian life, so much of it works in the analogy of being like a garden. That we have to tend it, look after it. We have to sow. We reap harvests. You know, depending on what we sow and what we do. You know, there's loads of analogies about that. Obviously, Jesus talked about the parable of the sower and talked about our heart is like soil, isn't it? That's what the whole parable was about. Disciples didn't really understand what he meant. So Jesus goes on to explain, doesn't he, very clearly, that our heart is like soil. And when the word of God is sown, you know, what the word of God produces in someone, it's not down to the quality of the seed, because the seed is the word of God, it's perfect, right? Perfect seed, but it's all the harvest that's produced or the fruit is produced in someone's life. It's just down to the quality of their heart, the quality of the soil of their heart, and how fertile it is to receive that seed. And Jesus talks about different things, and he says some falls on hearts that are like rocky ground, and some there it's like seed that falls amongst thorns, the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth that comes up and chokes the young plant. There's some that falls on like a path, and the devil just comes like a bird, just comes and steals that seed away. So we need to have fertile hearts, right? So there's loads of analogies where the Bible talks about this. So we need to see ourselves as gardeners. So turn to the person next to you, say, you are a gardener. That was rubbish. Let's do that again. That was really rubbish. Let's do that again. Turn to the person. Wendy hasn't got anyone next to him. Oh, you got Ian, okay. Yeah. So turn to the person next to you and say, you are a gardener. Excellent. Well, that's better. Awesome. Awesome. So spiritually, whether you are naturally or not, spiritually you are a gardener. And we're going to be great gardeners for God. Amen? Because we understand that life is a garden. You know, so we looked at a couple of scriptures last week, so just to kind of give a little bit of background. So Galatians 6, verse 7, Paul writes this, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." This is a key thought throughout this series. A man or woman, obviously, reaps what they sow. So we need to see life as a garden, think like a farmer, think like a gardener, and be purposeful and careful about what we sow into our lives, knowing we'll reap a harvest. You know, when we understand that, we can use it for our good. Paul goes on to, in the next verse, it's kind of, you know, very blunt, making some great spiritual points here. So this is Galatians 6, verse 8, the following verse. "Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." We all want to be reaping eternal life, right? But we all want to be reaping, you know, life in every area of our lives, all that God desires to do in us, to produce fruit in us. Remember, that's God's ultimate aim for your life, is to become more and more Christ-like and to produce fruit within you. Of course, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and God wants you to become more and more Christ-like. Amen? Produce that fruit, you know, love and joy and peace and patience and all of the nine that make up the fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, our life itself is actually a seed. We are sowing to the Spirit, and Jesus, who is always our perfect example in everything and who we should be following, amen, should be our example. Jesus sowed his life to produce a harvest. And in every sense, he sowed his life. He would sow his time. He would invest in disciples. He would sow his time in prayer. So often it talks about, you know, Jesus would get away from disciples. Sounds terrible, doesn't it? But, you know, but get away on his own. He would go up on a mountainside to pray, find somewhere quiet. And he was investing his life. And as I said, he sowed it into the disciples. And of course, he sowed his very life, you know, on the cross. John 12, 23 to 25, Jesus says this, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, but anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That's challenging, right? So Jesus was talking about himself. He was a seed, the seed that was going to have a massive harvest the other side. As he sowed his life, and particularly what he did through the cross, is he sowed that as a seed, it's produced a harvest. We are the harvest. Here we are 2,000 years later. We are part of that harvest, right? And the billions of people who have been saved and follow Jesus today are the harvest of Jesus sowing his life as a seed. Amen. So you can see these principles over and over again. And last week we talked about seed time and harvest and how it's we've been created to sow. We need to not just be looking for daily manna and quail. Remember we talked about the Old Testament last week and the way God provided them in the desert. That we also need to be sowing into our own future. Not just looking for kind of daily manna, although God absolutely does provide for us. Of course, that's all true. But also sowing into our future. Amen? And kind of how the Israelites went to the promised land, how that kind of changed. And the whole thing with seed time and harvest, and they were sowing into their own future. We went beyond kind of just manna and quail in the wilderness as they went into the promised land. So your today is a harvest of yesterday's seeds. Amen? So we're going to look at some different aspects. Going to get very practical this morning about being spiritual gardeners. Awesome. Like practical. Awesome. That's good. Praise God. You know, Proverbs 18, verse 21 says this, very challenging. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So point number one is that our words themselves are seeds. The words we speak over ourselves or the words we speak over others, they literally are seeds. Now, so we need to make sure we're sowing the right stuff. Amen? Now, we are eating the fruit. So often we are eating the fruit of yesterday's words today. What do you speak over your life when you're going through difficult stuff? And I'm not just talking about positive thinking here, okay, because that's just kind of a worldly thing. I mean, obviously it's better to be positive than negative. Of course, that's true. Okay, but we're not just talking about the power of positive thinking here, because that's just kind of like a, you know, it could be like a new agey thing. We're not talking about that at all. But we're talking about speaking scripture over ourselves, the truth of what God's word says. What are we speaking over our situation? What are we believing over our situation? What are we filling our thoughts with? Because so often we're eating the fruit of yesterday's words. You know, when difficult circumstances come, and they do, and they will, and that's not being, you know, downcast this morning. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world. We will have trouble and we will have storms. And Jesus, you know, we sung this morning, didn't we, what we build our life on. Put my life on you, that sure foundation. Jesus talked about that, didn't he, in the parable of the storm and what we build our life on. When we build our life on Jesus and on his teaching, when the storms of life, inevitable storms of life come, the wind and the waves, and, you know, when we build our life on that sure foundation, the house of our life is not going to collapse. Yeah, but when we build it on nothing, or build it on ourselves, then we're going to have issues. You know, when the storms come, right? That's what Jesus was talking about. Okay. We need to speak into our future, speak into what we desire to see, not just what we currently feel. So, what are you speaking over your life? If you've got children, what are you speaking over your children's lives? There's people who, you know, set aside time, as Wendy's talked about this morning, to spend time in the Word of God, to know what the Word says, not to be religious. And we're not just jumping through hoops, not just trying to make God love us, because he couldn't love us any more than he does. But out of our heart's desire to spend time with him, what does the word say about my situation? Going through a health situation, a financial situation, whatever the situation might be, a family situation. You know, let's find out what the word of God says about it. If he's speaking that over our situations, what does the word say? Amen? You know, Wendy's had some health situations, as you know, over the last couple of years, and we just keep coming back to the point of just, you know, what does Scripture say about this? We're just trusting God in it all. That's the thing we always come back to, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. You know, we don't always know all the answers. This is true about everything in life. We don't always know all the answers. What we do know is who is the answer, and that's where we need to focus. As we talked about earlier, you know, we focus our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12 says, 12 verse 1 and 2, we fix our eyes on Jesus. It talks about running a race. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. Whoever wrote Hebrews, we don't really know who it was. It probably wasn't Paul, because Paul always identified himself in his letters. So we don't really know who wrote Hebrews. But anyway, whoever wrote Hebrews, there's a brilliant book in the Bible. he talks about, you know, running our race and then just leaving behind, you know, all that baggage and stuff that can weigh us down, but then keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter, or author and finisher of our faith. It all starts and ends with Jesus. Amen. So speak life over your situations. Like I said, I'm not just talking about just positive thinking here. I'm talking about finding out what does the Word of God say about my situation. You know, if you're going through a health situation, what are you speaking over it? You know, by His stripes that we are healed. He is the God that heals us. You know, what are you speaking over your situation? Get down deep into the Word of God and find out what it says. If you don't know what it says, get it into your heart and be speaking over your situations. Because so often the fruit we produce can be the seed of what we sown yesterday. Amen? So words themselves are seeds. What we speak over others are seeds. Right? But the tongue has the power of life and death. Number two, our attitudes. You know, attitudes can always create like spiritual atmospheres. You know, a critical spirit, I hope this is none of you, I'm sure it isn't. The critical spirit produces conflict, but a grateful spirit produces peace. Our attitude, it matters. Amen? Because so often attitudes are silent seeds that produce loud harvests. You know, attitudes, they really do matter. Amen? And we just talked just a second ago about the power of the tongue. James, which is an amazing book, he's like so blunt and to the point, James. I often call him James Blunt. Anyway, but he's so blunt, just like to the point. Some of you got that, and some of you are like, what does that even mean? Anyway, he's a singer, James Blunt. Anyway, well, allegedly a singer, depending on your point of view. Anyway, James 3, verses 3 to 12, where he's very blunt, as he always is, just kind of gets to the point, and again talks about the power of the tongue. This is why our attitudes matter, and he's actually talking about gossip and stuff here, and about how just how powerful it is what we speak over situations, or speak over people's lives. So it says this: when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, that's a bit of metal, you know, about, if you don't, I don't know what you know about horses, you know, that's a bit of metal they put on reins, they put in horses, which you can control them with. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. He's so blunt, isn't he? As I said, he really is. You know, to bring this into analogy, you know, kind of our local area, you know, we live in the New Forest, right next to National Park, and you know, this is why. You know, barbecues or instant barbecues are banned, aren't they? Right across the national park, they're banned everywhere. You're not allowed to have fires, even down at the beach, even at Leaper Cow Shot. I'm sure people do, but you're not supposed to. They're banned, aren't they? Because they're so worried, maybe even paranoid, you know, that the forest is going to catch fire, whether that's trees or heathland or whatever. And obviously it could be absolutely devastating, couldn't it? Because it could spread so quickly, you know, across the New Forest area and cause all sorts of damage to wildlife and vegetation, etc. And potentially houses, obviously. Right, but that's the reality, and this is what Paul's what James is talking about here. So consider what a great forest is set on fire by just a small spark. The tongue itself is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire. Itself set on fire by hell. And he goes on to say, verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Then he goes on to say, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father. With it we curse human beings to be made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Wow, that's challenging, right? Challenges me. If it's not challenging you, okay, great, awesome. But it challenges me. Because what James is talking about here, about taming the tongue, we have to be so careful what we speak over situations. So don't get paranoid about it, okay? Tie yourself in knots, like, I can't ever say anything about anything because I might accidentally gossip, okay? But at the same time, we do need to, you know, allow the fruit of the Spirit to produce in us And of course, one aspect of the fruit is self-control. As I've said before, you know, the fruit of the Spirit basically describes Jesus, isn't it? It's sort of love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. That's basically Jesus summed up, right? And man, he has some serious self-control. There's all sorts of stuff Jesus could have said. And times when he did say stuff, times when he was on the cross where he intentionally didn't say stuff, even when they were, you know, goading him and trying to get him to say stuff. And they got frustrated with him because he stayed silent. Jesus' attitude was like, I don't need to justify myself and who I am. I know who I am. I know what I'm here to do. I don't need to justify anything and what I'm doing and et cetera, right? So he kept his mouth shut. So we need to tame the tongue. Amen? But we can only do this with the help of the Holy Spirit. It's not just like forcing ourselves to do anything, you know, just as much as it's like forcing behavioral change. Christianity is much more than that, right? It's about the Holy Spirit producing that fruit within us, amen? Otherwise, we're going to do things on our own strength. Everyone agree? Right? It's about the Holy Spirit helping us with this stuff. We all need help, you know, if we're honest. We all need help of the Holy Spirit, right? To help us and guide us and lead us and change us. You know, talking about the sowing and reaping, I don't know if any of you have heard of Japanese knotweed. Anyone heard of Japanese knotweed? Right. So Japanese knotweed is from Japan, obviously. Strange enough. So the Victorian specimen, in Victorian England, you know how we, rightly or wrongly, like conquered half the world and liked going all around the world. And we would bring back plants from all around the world as well. And it was like, we bring back plants like, do you know what? We just want to look at them. So if we go around all these different countries, wouldn't we? For all sorts of reasons. It was mainly financial reasons, but it was driving the whole thing. But anyway, and we'd bring back plants and animals and all sorts of things from different parts of the world just so we could look at them and go, right, that's nice. So one of the things we brought back from Japan, obviously we didn't conquer Japan, but it's another place that the Victorians went, and brought back this plant called Japanese knotweed. And the reason they brought it back is because they just thought it looked nice. And it's got red stems, if you know what it looks like. I've got pictures this morning, but it's got like red stems and green leaves and... It looks okay, I guess. Now, the thing with Japanese knotweed, this is all relevance to all this, okay? It'll come clear. Okay. The thing with Japanese knotweed, if you know anything about it, is highly destructive. And it spreads like absolute crazy. Myself and Wendy, we used to live in South Wales. And South Wales is one of probably the biggest hotspot in Britain for it. And it is literally, it's everywhere. Literally everywhere. Hampshire's not too bad, actually. But in some parts of the country, it is literally everywhere. And it's highly, highly, highly destructive. It spreads like crazy. It spreads like you go like meters down under the ground, and then spreads, and then kind of produces shoots. It can go through. It'll literally go through solid concrete. It'll go through paving slabs. It's crazy stuff. And because of that, it's now, if you didn't know all this stuff, it's also highly illegal as well. It's illegal to plant it. It's illegal to put it in your bin. It's illegal to put it in a skip. And if it spreads to your neighbor's garden, you can go to prison. So this is how serious Japanese knotweed is. It's crazy. Because it's so destructive and spreads so crazy. And the only way you can basically get it out is to dig it out. So when I lived in South Wales, I did some landscaping stuff with my brother-in-law. And we went to this person's garden once. He had a really big garden. It was about a two-acre garden. This huge garden. They bought this place. It sounds great. You'll see where I'm going. So they bought this house really, really cheap with this big garden. But when we got there, we discovered there's a real... And they basically wanted their garden developed. There was a reason why the house was very, very cheap. Basically, it had 2 acres of Japanese knotweed. And bless them, we kind of like didn't quite know how to break it to them. There was a reason the house was cheap. I mean, they're probably looking at hundreds of thousands probably to deal with it, literally. Because the only way you can do is go in there with a JC. You have to kill it all. But even if you kill it on the surface, it will still be under the ground. You'd have to go in there with a JC. It's not something that was beyond what we could do. And we told them that. And we couldn't even quote for it. And, you know, someone has to go in with the JCB and literally dig. You have to dig out like 10 metres down and dig the whole thing out. That's the only way you'll get rid of it. It's crazy stuff. Anyway, I'm saying all that to say, that's a bit what a gossip can be like. It's so destructive. And the Victorians thought this plant looked lovely. And like, well, let's plant this. Now it's like all over Britain and causing chaos. And then I had to ban the whole thing and make it illegal and a prisonable offence for spreading it. Right? And that's what gossip could be like. So let's make sure we're sowing the right stuff. Amen? We're sowing life. We're sowing good seeds. We're speaking life over us, over our other situations, other people's lives, and taming a tongue with the power of the Holy Spirit as a fruit of the Holy Spirit of self-control is produced within us. Amen? Praise God. Number three, I see people who sow into our health. I said we're going to be very practical this morning. Sow into our health, you know, into our mental health. You know, in our world, we have a mental health crisis. Not a belittling some people's situations who are dealing with real deep-rooted issues. I get that. Okay. Yeah, but God wants us to have. But I do absolutely believe that God wants us to have good mental health. Okay. And so much of that comes down to what do we sow into our thoughts. You know, Philippians 4 verse 8, Paul writes, he's basically giving us a planting list here. He's saying, like, if you want to have good mental health, if you want to be thinking correctly, these are the things you need to plant. These are the seeds you need to plant. We're in a world that's obsessed with bombarding us with information, isn't it? With social media and TV and all the internet and everything else, just bombarding us with stuff. And it's not all bad in and of itself, but it's just constantly bombarding us. And Paul's like, this is what you need to plant in your life. Philippians 4 verse 8 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So our mind is literally a garden, our thoughts are seeds. Now we can grow flowers or we can grow weeds, right? We can grow spiritual flowers or spiritual weeds. Amen? Your mental health, it thrives when we sow truth and peace into our thought life and not junk. Everyone agree? Yep. And this world has got so much junk, it can fill our minds. So let's be sowing the word into our thoughts. Amen? God doesn't want us to be anxious. God wants us to sleep well at night. Psalm says God grants peaceful sleep to those that he loves. Amen? God doesn't want us to be stressed out. There's people who sow into our physical health as well. That's our mental health. As you can see, I'm obviously doing that. Sorry? Yeah, I do go on the treadmill two or three times a week, that's true. Then I get off the treadmill. No, I do actually run on the... I don't just get on it, I do run on it as well. But it's true, isn't it? Okay? I'm looking at myself. I'm not looking at any. I'm trying not to look at anybody because people think, oh, this is aimed at me. but it's true, isn't it? Now, myself and Wendy, we've been talking about this. I'm turning 50 next year. Wendy's 50. Remind me, saying Wendy's 52. I know. 32 is what everyone thinks. But I was reading somewhere about, you know, what you do in your 40s and 50s makes such a huge impact on what basically how your health is in your 60s and 70s. Now, obviously, you can't control every health situation. Sometimes things just come completely out of the blue and totally unexpected. Of course, sometimes that happens. But what you do in your 40s and 50s, if you're at that age, it can make such a big difference to how you are in your 60s and 70s. Whether you exercise, your diet, how you look after your heart, you know, making sure you're getting aerobic exercise, your heart is basically... You know, getting worked and all that kind of stuff, and continue to keep your muscles strong, and all that kind of stuff. So, there's a lot more people. There's probably people who know far more about this stuff than me here this morning. Who can speak into that far more. But let's be people who can sow into our future and that as well, sow into our physical health. Okay, we don't have to get like crazy about this stuff necessarily. Okay, but just think about the stuff. What are we sowing into our lives? What are we sowing into our mental health? What are we sowing into our physical life? Sometimes that means physical choices, isn't it? You know, rest is a seed. Now, sometimes it can be in our lives, which can be so crazy and so busy, can't they? Then it's things that we just never should be resting. You know, but it's a spiritual principle, isn't it, rest? It says that God rested after creation, right? You know, sleep is something that God created. So when you sleep, you're pleasing God. That's good to know, isn't it? Now, we can sleep too much. That's a whole different issue, right? We shouldn't be lazy, obviously, because what the Bible has to say about that as well, about being lazy and not being productive, okay? But sleep and rest, they're a gift from God, right? We need that. Our bodies need that, right? So rest is a seed. Emotional habits are seeds. People sow into our health, our body, and our mind, amen, our mental health, our physical health. And number four, let's be people who sow into our relationships, sow into our friendships. Amen? Sow where you want to grow. Now, Proverbs 27, verse 27 says this is well-known scripture, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So are we people who invest in others? Have we got people who speak into our lives as well. Other people sowing seeds into our lives. Think about the relationships that you have, your relationships you have in church, your friendships, other people who are investing in your life, who help grow your faith, help stretch your character, that help you reflect Christ, because we need that. And we need to do that for others as well. Amen? To be sowing seeds into their lives. So where we want to grow, to be sowing those seeds into others, to produce a harvest in their lives. And for others to have that open door to sow into our lives. You know, no man or woman is intended to be an island, right? We're created in a relational way. You know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are relational. We're made in the image of God. We're created to be relational, relational people. No one is supposed to be doing life on their own. Amen? Praise God. So, just kind of sum up this morning, because time's going quick. Again. Thanks, Nicky. Again. Thank you. That wasn't a positive seed, was it? I'm only joking. I know. I'm only joking. But let's be people who just give ourselves almost like a bit of an audit this morning. Audit our sowing in our lives. So what are we sowing into our future? This is just some questions. So what are you speaking over your life or speaking over the life of others? Are we speaking good stuff? Are we sowing good seeds? Or hopefully not, but are we ever sowing negative seeds? Is our tongue under control? Yeah, big question. As James talks about. What are we doing with our mental health? Are we planting peace into our mind? What thoughts? Are we planting the word into our mind? Are we planting what the world wants to chuck at us? You know, the word versus the world. That could be a whole message in itself, couldn't it? Right? What are you doing in your physical body? Are you sowing strength into your physical body and all that God desires to do in and through you, sowing for your future? Are you sowing kindness and positive things into your relationships? Amen? So I really believe that your harvest tomorrow and in all these different areas of life, our harvest tomorrow is hiding in our seeds today. So let's be people who see ourselves as spiritual gardeners. Amen? In every area of our life, every walk of life, and of course in relationships, this can mean with us as well, not just our friendships with our kids and parents and brothers, sisters, our marriages, and of course you say so much about that as well. But that's sowing into our future. Amen? Speaking life over our situation. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Lord God, you are so good. You are so amazing. Lord, and we need you. Lord, in every area of life, Lord, we need your help. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to empower us and equip us. Lord, we're not called to do things in our own strength. Lord God, and I pray, Lord, that, Lord, we will see us, Lord, as spiritual, Lord, spiritual gardeners. Lord, where so much in our life, Lord, can be down to what we sow into it. Oh God, I know you, Lord, you're challenging, convicting, Lord, you're challenging me this morning. Lord God, and we want to be great gardeners for you. Lord, we want the harvest, Lord, within our lives look like how you desire it to look. Lord, I pray we'll be people, Lord, who speak well over others, who sow positive seeds, the word over ourselves, over others. Lord, our attitudes, Lord, are right. Lord, I pray to be people, Lord, who tame the tongue. All the stuff that James was saying, Lord, he wasn't saying the tongue can't be tamed. He was just saying how difficult it is. Lord, but with you, we can do all things for you who strengthen us. Lord, I pray, Lord, our tongue will be under control, Lord God, and subject to you, Lord God. Lord, we will speak in life over people, life over situations. Lord, I pray in our physical and mental health, Lord, that we will sow positive seeds. Lord, I pray for every person here, Lord, if they're struggling with physical health, Lord, just for your healing power in Jesus' name. Lord, if they're struggling with mental health, Lord, just for your, Lord, just for your supernatural peace that passes all understanding to guard their heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Lord, and help us just to sow positive stuff, to sow your word within us. Lord, in our relationships, our friendships, Lord, to speak life. Lord, to spend time with each other, to connect with each other. Lord, and to open our hearts to others, to allow them to speak into our lives and to sow seeds of life and truth and grace and challenge. Lord, so we become more and more Christ-like. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so good. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you more than anything, Lord, for sowing yourself. Lord, we are the harvest, Lord, of you sowing yourself 2,000 years ago. Lord, and we're so, so thankful, Lord, for that fruit and the harvest is produced in us, Lord, that we know you today because of that seed that you sowed. Thank you, you are the perfect example in every area of life. Lord, you're so amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. God is good.